You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Out of that group of four, the top four, he was fourth last year in the league when it comes to just watching them play. The gap has never been this ridiculously big gap when it comes to Patrick, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. All three of those guys had better seasons last year than Patrick did, yes. But there is the reality that Patrick, not once, not twice, but three or four times, has played his absolute best when it's been needed the most. Those other three guys haven't necessarily done that.
ESPN's Dan Orlovsky talking about the ESPN top 10 QB list. You knew this one was going to get a lot of leg room for that.
It's going to get a lot of legs because also it's right before everyone starts showing up for camp. It's the last vestige of ESPN shows being able to yell at each other for rankings.
Oh, they can find time to do that in August.
You're right, actually.
They can find time.
That's
this
right.
Is the last, like, honest one.
Yes.
But after that, like a random Tuesday, Wednesday,
that's
August?
That's true.
Yeah,
it'll be a list
baby.
That they just come up with of like.
Exactly. And all the power to them.
Where would LeBron James rank in terms of quarterbacks?
To be fair, on the quarterback rankings today.
Probably five because they're starving for it.
Yes. But we watched it today before we jumped on. They were talking about SEC Media Day. And they were also talking about a quarterback list there.
Yes.
A kind of fake one, but it was more just like they were throwing it up there. Of like, well, who would be the top SEC quarterback? Arch Manning or name a bunch of other guys here.
And,
I also, by the way, as a Texas fan, would not rank Arch number one. I'm not that crazy.
I do believe it was Jordan Rogers that said that on ESPN. Of
he's not even top five.
He's not even top five in the SEC.
Which and that like, feels insane.
Yeah, maybe he was right about the hype train's too high.
Yeah.
But then he went back on it and went contrarian,
like
an overcorrection. And it's like, no, it's okay. One, both of these things could be true where he's the overhype is real, but also not like he's just not the top guy. The other part of it is an overcorrection where no, that doesn't mean that he's not a top five quarterback within the conference.
I just think it's ridiculous. I know he played predominantly against poor competition. You could not have watched him and been like, it's a little overrated. He's going to be amazing. He just may not be the best quarterback in the SEC right now because guys like Garrett Nussmeier at LSU and Lenore Sellers at South Carolina have already started a ton of games and are already awesome. Sellers is my dark horse pick to win the Heisman. I know someone on ESPN said that too. I maybe even was Dan Orlovsky, who we just heard from. I like him a lot. He gives off that vibe, not the exact size. He's not 6'5", 240 like Cam Newton, but he gives off the vibe like Cam Newton at Auburn. Of a guy that just kind of changes the trajectory of a program. What Shane Beamer has been able to do at South Carolina, they even got a stud edge rusher in Dylan Stewart coming into his sophomore year. Hell, the Bills have taken advantage of a bit of the rise of South Carolina in drafting TJ Sanders. I think Sellers is going to be unbelievable. Maybe, I don't know about necessarily winning the SEC, but also I think the days of dynasties in the SEC and undefeated seasons might be over with because of NIL.
And that's the good thing about NIL.
Is that it The big dogs are still going to eat first. And as a mid-major town with Buffalo, you're still going to get picked apart. But it will allow teams like South Carolina, who, while have been in the SEC, have very much been the second fiddle, they'll be able to rise a little
bit
here.
That's the downside, though, of the NIL, is that the big teams are going to eat first and foremost.
Yeah.
But when it comes to a power conference, like, that's the problem with NIL, I think, is you're never going to have that outside chance. But rarely often did you get it before that anyway.
Yeah,
of like
it doesn't
your random
much.
Kentucky or Vanderbilt seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Or your
year I didn't where, say the years where Stanford was good in football.
Yeah, the years where those things happen. Me, a Purdue supporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to see the Boilermakers become a contender in the Big Ten ever again
no.
in my life.
No.
Like it, not in football.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a basketball state. It's a basketball school. It all makes sense. They'll randomly need to be good one year in order to like ride the momentum.
Indiana last year.
But even then, they might struggle now.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's still only Indiana University. And in football, that doesn't carry the weight that it does on the court.
Especially, you know, Indiana.
Yeah.
I'm going to Notre Dame first.
Yes, exactly. Like, you're not even the best. You're not even the best football team in your state, let alone your conference.
Yeah. I mean, it's
the most prestigious, not even close. You're not even in the same atmosphere as the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. As much as I hate them, you have to understand that the brand alone is indomitable. Why the likes of Purdue still has a rivalry game with them?
Oh, some of those Big Ten rivalry games are ridiculous.
The battle for the Shillelagh?
Yeah. I know Notre Dame's not a Big Ten, but they're in that territory.
They've lost the last nine.
They have some of the ridiculous rivalries, too.
Purdue has lost the last nine in that rivalry game, okay? It's kind of becoming a farce.
Yeah. Last thing on this that I do want to say. It's one of those where the brands have been around for so long. Nothing the sport did outside of straight up stripping them of scholarships to equal out mid-major teams would put everyone else on an equal footing. Ohio State, Michigan, Alabama.
And that would be bad for business.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the big programs, I've mentioned this with college basketball a lot, and maybe I'm a bit too much of a ratings junkie now, but I don't really care. It paints the best picture of what, you know, people want to see. And people want to see the big brands. They want to see them in the big games. They want to see coach legacies on the line. What's going to happen here? You're going to get that in NIL. You may not get as deep of teams. Now, if we're going to start doing rankings in 10, 15 years of the best teams of all time, most of these teams that win in the next 10, 15 years probably won't be on them. Their teams are simply not deep enough. They are losing backups to other SEC and Big Ten teams who are willing to pony out the purse and really go after this, the checkbook. But you're still going to have great teams. It just, however, will be a lot of the brands that you already know and love and or hate. But I won't be against Notre Dame coming back. I haven't really seen a great Notre Dame team all but a few years in my life. And I like Marcus Freeman a lot. USC hasn't been legitimately relevant, long-standing, more than just a year where they go 11-2 and go to a Rose Bowl since the early 2000s. As a Texas fan, the same thing. The last time they were really relevant was 09 up until the last few years. You know, I'm okay with those big brands coming back because we all like watching them.
But the big brands not being dynasties is also the other thing about it that makes it better, because they are still brand names, but they're not dominating year in and year out and year in and year out.
We're not going to get the Nick Saban Alabama run.
Never again. And honestly, thank goodness for that.
Because it felt like Georgia was going to do that.
Georgia was on the cusp of starting to do that, actually. Like, Kirby Smart has built a great program there, but now...
A lot of legal issues, but yeah.
Yeah. That's sometimes...
A lot of legal issues.
You sacrifice the...
Yeah.
You sacrifice the character for the talent, and that's what you get. But it's probably the mix of, like, it's perfect for both worlds, but there is a clear loser in this. It's all mid-majors, and it's all lower-tier brands of big programs. They're never going to be the same again,
mm-hmm.
Or they are going to just forever stay the same.
Yeah.
They're never going to have that flash in the pan anymore. Mid-majors are a different story because you can at least secure a brand of... We are the school that gets you to your school.
Which
is a great way to go about it.
Yeah.
We're the school that gets you to the school.
Because it's going to be one of those, like, let's be honest, UB, Ohio, any of the MAC schools are not competing for a national championship.
Correct.
It would take a generational run to compete in something, say, like the Cotton Bowl or the Rose Bowl or Fiesta Bowl, anything like that.
And college football rosters are too big to make that the case, where, like, you have this roster of players that suddenly is able to compete with the big wigs of college football for an entire season.
Teams like Boise State took advantage at the right time and even still got a little screwed over.
Still, even like if you go unbeaten in the MAC, things still have to fall properly in place for you to make it into the top 12 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's no automatic bid for you. It may be looked at as, oh, you just play in the MAC.
Now, I mean, you had runs like that, like Western Michigan with P.J. Fleck. They were a highly rated team that I think they did go to the Cotton Bowl. They got blown out. Ball State, when they lost to UB in 08, they were undefeated, ranked 12th in the country. Now, nowadays, especially if we go to 16-team playoff, they're in.
They're in if you get to 16. But as of right now,
mm-hmm.
there will be arguments made against you.
Mm-hmm.
And the College Football Playoff Committee will look at this and go, is this bad business? What if we put a MAC school in here that, yeah, they went 12-0. What if I put them in there?
No one watches.
And they get the teeth kicked in.
Yeah.
Like, what happens then? Then we never do this again.
You saw it last year, too. Penn State SMU.
Yes.
Blowout. SMU's a good team. And also, and I hate bringing this up, but I think it's worth mentioning, The MAC plays their MAC championship in Indianapolis. It's not a highly sold out game. Now, to be fair, a lot of these conference championships are not. I mean, the Big 12 is also famously one of them, when last year was Iowa State and Arizona State, and in Arlington, Texas, in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, there was room. People could come in.
It was the Cowboys Stadium, though, too. Let's not make it.
But that also is where people do look at, like, yeah, what is the brand size? How many people actually tune in to watch this? Boise State has built up over now almost three decades. They've been building up their brand of multiple big, you know, wins, dominating the WAC, and then eventually the Mountain West, to where now people just know Boise State. You know them as the mid-major program
in
college football.
They are a brand.
They're the Gonzaga of college football.
But they're also a brand that was established well before the NIL was even a threat to be a thing.
Yeah.
Them and TCU are the teams that you immediately thought of the mid-major types.
I'm glad
that you can – they can hang.
Yeah.
These guys can hang. They've shown it historically that they can do it. And for Boise State to make its return, it's not a coincidence that this new day and age of college football is here, and Boise State suddenly is back on the map.
Part of it. TCU got the bump. They left. I think they were in the Mountain West first, and then they jump, or the WAC. One of those two.
Correct.
They do get the jump, though, to the Big 12. They join the big dogs. You know, UCF has kind of done the same thing. They've now joined the Big 12. Boise State got screwed over by the Pac-12. Boise State absolutely should have become a member of that group.
Teams were scared of them.
And for whatever happened, it was teams, I think, both scared of them, but also kind of the feeling of, is the market of Boise, Idaho really going to do anything for us? Well, number one, you look at Utah, it's just going to build up the conference's brand. But Boise, and that's where I said Boise got screwed over. If they had gone to the Pac-12, number one, most of us aren't even talking about them as like a darling. They would be part of the Power 4, Power 5, like TCU was when they made a national championship. They'd been in the Big 12 for years, and even then they got blown out. It's one of the worst national championship games of all time. Boise, you know, makes it last year. They give Penn State a hell of a run. They almost have a Heisman Trophy winner.
Right.
Which, if you would have said that even 10 years ago, would have felt absurd. Now, it's just kind of like, it's Boise State, baby. Like, it's what they do.
It's what they do. And that's the part of it, like, with college football that that's the part I'm okay with.
Mm-hmm.
Is you have established yourself through years of fighting through the system, honestly. Like, Boise State and TCU, they had an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
TCU joins a power conference. Boise State, despite not having one of those in their pocket, they are still a brand name and still a spectacle for players to want to get to in Boise, Idaho. Not what I would call a destination city.
Yeah, now they're going to be one of the main members of the revitalized Pac-12.
And that's going to be a good deal. When the Pac-12 is able to get its stuff together all over again here, it's going to help them majorly.
Mm-hmm.
I still think it's criminal that the Atlantic Coastal Conference has Stanford and Cal in it.
Yeah, you wonder how long that lasts if all of a sudden the Pac-12 comes back.
If the Pac-12 comes back, I'd expect those teams to jump right back over there, because then you would be able to stay within Power 5 conference sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you get to cut back down on your traveling costs.
And it's not like the ACC is, well, the Big Ten of the SEC, where you're like, oh, we have to stay.
Yeah.
Look at all the talent. It's not. It's Clemson, a few years Florida State,
but
and that's
kind
of about it.
But it's also a conference that you can take if you have a good year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the part of, like, we talk about the struggles of the mid-majors.
Mm-hmm.
Or the bottom-tier brands in a Power 5 conference.
Yep.
The ACC does not have that problem.
No.
I could look at any one of them. Except for, like, I don't know, Wake Forest.
Well, they had a few years, actually.
But
Sam Hartman years.
The Sam Hartman years, good Lord. But do I consider them a threat, though, to get an automatic bid for a playoff?
Not really, no.
No. But all it takes with the ACC is one good year. In the Big Ten, you got to deal with SC, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan, Ohio State. I need to clear all five of these hurdles just to have a chance to make it to the conference championship game.
And we're all likelihood I'm going to get blown out by the one I didn't play yet.
Yes.
Realistically.
It is. Who's the buzzsaw I didn't meet? Because that's the one that's going to chop this season in half.
Yeah. Penn State ultimately has a great season last year, but they lose to Oregon in the Big Ten championship. Or Ohio State doesn't even win the damn thing. They don't even make the game.
They don't even make the game, and yet
they walk to the national championship.
Oh, my God. That was still – And that, like, the Big Ten has become such a buzzsaw for itself. Like, Ohio State has one bad day against Michigan where they decide to try to play bully ball with the bullies of the Big Ten when it comes to we are defensively sound, run the football. Oh, you want to try to beat us at our game? You're really going to try that with us?
It's just so ridiculous.
Okay.
So ridiculous.
I'm not going to stop my enemy from making a mistake.
Yeah. We can't play quarterback, but you're going to also force yourself to run the ball.
And that's where it's such a weird story of you did not even get to appear in your conference championship game, let alone get dusted in it. And yet you still got the easiest path somehow to the college football championship.
Where I'm glad they fixed up the seedings to make that not like that.
That's good.
But it also was very – and that I think might be a thing that starts to happen more and more. It was still very weird for as dominant as Ohio State was for them to not be the Big Ten champions and national champions.
Mm-hmm.
That always used to go hand in hand. You had to win your conference and then you could
but
get
you know
a
who's
shot
the first
to
team
win
that broke
champion.
That? Ohio State.
Which year was it? It wasn't this past year.
It wasn't the fact that they like – oddly enough, they were the benefactors of that argument first because I don't remember the year, but it was back when it was the Lloyd Carr Wolverines against Tressel's Ohio State in their later years of coaching where they play the best game of the year against each other in the game. But Michigan loses and their pitch for the BCS championship is we played the best against Ohio State. This should be our time. And the ruling initially was you have to win your conference in order to make it to the national championship game.
Hell yeah.
And then Ohio State becomes the beneficiary of this and falls at the hands of LSU.
Is that 2006? No, that's when they lose to Florida. Oh, 2007. There we go. Yeah. Because, Ohio State is the Big Ten champion. Yeah, so they get the championship.
I don't know if it's that year then, but, it was Alabama that stopped that from happening, not Ohio State. Alabama was the one that they had a rematch in a championship game because.
Against LSU, which it was one of the worst, so bad. That's it's like 21-0. It was awful.
But hey, they were seen as the best team. But wait, didn't they not win their conference? Isn't that what you guys always stood on business about?
Yep, 2011, Alabama, consensus national champion, 21-0 win over LSU. LSU, though, is the SEC champion after they beat Georgia 42-10 and also beat Alabama early in the year in another awful game, 9-6 overtime win. Just an awful game.
Yeah. So it was one of these weird things of like, you had that. You were standing on business for that, and then all of a sudden, you chose to depart from that.
Mm-hmm. Alabama,
always
getting it.
Always the favorite.
Always getting it.
Always the favorite child. All of a sudden, in the 2000s.
803-0550, the number to call. I do like this era though, college football. Again, I'm excited for UB this year. I've kind of spoken on that a lot.
We are looking at a potentially, hopefully, nasty year in the MAC. With Pete Lembo at the helm.
Through BetMGM, they're second only to Toledo in terms of odds to win the MAC championship.
Which makes sense.
And that's unknown at quarterback play. So we'll see how that goes. I like the era of college football we're in. I don't love it because I do want there to be some safety bars. I'm not saying you need a full salary cap, but it can't be the Wild West out there. But college football's always kind of went through this run of things.
You know what kind of made it a really easy... Like, here's a pitch for, like, how to fix it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You brought it up within the college football game, the video game.
Mm-hmm.
If you limit the transfer portal, then you don't lose your entire roster if you're playing as a mid-major, right?
Yeah, it's tough to be like, hey, beat your guys out, you know, your teammates to get to, like, the 15 or 20 guys that can leave, whatever it is. Like, that's going to make it weird. I don't want to go back to the days where you have to sit out a year because coaches don't have to sit out if they leave a job to go to another one. I don't want that. It might be one of those you're going to have to limit how many transfers you can bring in.
Yes.
Because I think a lot of these kids do enter the portal with the knowledge that one or two teams, I'm going to be on one of these two teams.
And there are kids that are entering the transfer portal, for example, following a coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you want to be there because this guy recruited you. He believed in you. You don't want to try to risk it. Like, you know, the devil you do versus the devil you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you get a new boss, for example, it might be a little uncomfortable. Do you just follow the old guy that you know that that helped lead you to being kind of relatively a success?
Mm-hmm.
So there are reasons like that as well. Oh, he's going to a different program. I'm probably going to want to go with him because I'm familiar with that system.
Mm-hmm.
And schematic fits as well.
Yeah.
So there are reasons like that. But I do think there should be a little bit of a competition for, okay, who's leaving the mid-major for the big league?
On that, Brian Koziel just texted into me too. You know, I think we've all kind of been there as UB fans, wanted to see UB jump from the MAC, leave the MAC. There were reports last week Ohio was maybe looking to leave. I think mm-hmm. they squashed those reports, but when there's smoke, there's fire, especially with conference realignment. I always believe most of it.
Always believe in the chaos of conference realignment these days.
Big Ten makes sense most geographically. Brian mentioned that, but it's too big of a jump. I also don't think you have the infrastructure. You'd need a big stadium.
Not only the infrastructure, you don't have the talent to last.
Yeah, not even close.
I just talked about the plights of Purdue.
Yeah. I will say, though, and this is a conference I've pushed for a while, and that is the American. They are likely going to be losing some teams to the Big 12 or the ACC, Tulane, and they will be looking for someone else. If you're at your best, and that's what Ohio's doing. They just won the MAC championship in dominant fashion. And then they just lost their coach as well. So for UB, and conference realignment will come fast because you'll also have leagues like the Big Ten who will be looking at Rutgers going, what are you offering us? What are you genuinely offering us?
And at least Purdue can answer basketball.
Basketball, exactly.
Indiana, up until last year, the same answer, basketball.
Basketball.
I could offer you basketball.
Northwestern, GPA for the conference. It's the same with Vanderbilt and the SEC. I don't care if it's wrong.
Purdue answers exactly that as well. But like, yeah, like you have answers. Mm-hmm. What is Rutgers giving me as a conference?
Mm-hmm. So I don't even think it's the New York market. I know that was a big reason why they were brought in initially, but their football program feels so dead. I don't even think you're getting that.
Yeah.
And so I wonder where it goes. I like the American, though. And that was the thing I loved, you know, back when the basketball program was as good as it was. 803-0550, the number two call. Well, let's go a little late. We'll go to Allie up here first. Allie, how are we doing today?
I'm great. How are you, fellas?
Doing well.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it's super funny you guys were talking about this. Just like off-season talk, my dad and I were debating kind of what you guys were discussing. I'm from Wyoming originally and obviously became a Bills fan and follow you guys and all that now because of Josh. But, you know, we were just talking about the kind of impact that NIL has had on, you know, schools like Wyoming. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Boise, they've been beating us up for a while now, and San Diego as well. But, you know, it's interesting. We get dudes that come and they pop off and they play great. And, you know, our scouts at UW are the ones that are, you know, finding the talent and giving them chances. And then they come and they play for a year and they ball out. And then, you know, we just get bought out. We're, you mm-hmm. know, we're the only university in the state. So it's like a huge part of the community. And very much a big part of like who we are as a state, but, it's so challenging. And so we were kind of talking about like, what safeguards do schools like that have where, you know, you spend all this time scouting these dudes and bring them in and they're great, but then, you know, getting bought out, to, you know, to go to maybe a little bit of a more exciting place. Laramie, Wyoming, isn't that good? I mean, I went to school there and loved it, but, you know, it's not as exciting as those bigger schools. And so, I don't know. I'm not sure what the solution is, but that's kind of the great debate around Wyoming football is like, you know, if NIL had been in place, like, would we have kept Josh? And I would like to think that the person that he is, you know what I mean, the kind of man that he is, he would have stayed because Bull gave him a chance. And, you know, we all know the story, but I don't know. It's interesting being someone who's a lifelong fan, and my dad played for Wyoming, and I went there, and just watching what that's done to our program as well. The debate just is super interesting. So I was just curious. I guess it's interesting to hear you guys' thoughts, and that's something we're talking about out here as well.
Yeah, Allie, thanks for the call. I want to jump more into this. I even love she brought up the idea of NIL was there, would Josh leave? And that's something I thought of.
Great question.
I thought of in his second year
yeah.
of
maybe would he have wanted to jump to a bigger program? We got to take a quick time out here. I want to jump into that, though, after this. Derek, though, before we do that.
Before we do that, I want to make sure to remind everyone to celebrate 716 Day with Jeremy White at the BFLO Store's flagship location in the Transitown Plaza, Williamsville, on Wednesday, July 16th from 4 to 6 p.m. Spend $77.16 in-store or online, and you can score a free Go Bills cap while supplies last. Meet Bills and Bandits players, catch live music, exclusive getaways, shop the brand new tailgate collection. Don't miss it. And that is in just a couple days on Wednesday. Full details at BFLOshop.com, the BFLO store, official retailer of the Buffalo Bills. Derek and Zach here on the Extra Point Show. We'll be right back after this break.
Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres Foundations will be hosting Give 716 Day, raising as much money for local charities as possible, beginning at 7:16 p.m. tomorrow evening. That is Tuesday, July 15th, and running to 11:59 p.m. midnight, Wednesday, July 16th. Over 500 charities are participating. All fans are encouraged to make a donation of any amount to their favorite charities. Go to give716.org between 7:16 p.m. Tuesday, July 15th, and midnight on Wednesday, July 16th. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're talking a lot about college football today, SEC Media Days today, and we just kind of got in the running of talking NIL. We took Allie's call there in the last segment. And
we promised an answer.
And, you know, I think it has been a perfect marriage between Josh Allen coming from Laramie, Wyoming, and even small town Fireball, California, to Buffalo. Obviously, the small market, you know, that's sort of ingrained in all of us, and that kind of pride that it brings. But that's where the NIL era can be scary as hell. You're talking about Laramie, Wyoming, a UB program that has at times really struggled to gain fan interest, especially in an NFL market. This is a scary era where you're wondering, is every good player we have going to leave? Allie brings up Josh Allen. NIL wasn't a problem in 2018. If it was, does he jump to one of the Pac-12 big boys, Oregon, USC, something like that? And then, you know, for us personally, UB fans, what if it was around when Khalil Mack was getting drafted?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have Mack for that final year where you have some iconic moments? I mean, they get blown up by Ohio State, but my goodness, the Khalil Mack game in Columbus is absurd.
Yeah, Khalil Mack starts out on fire against Ohio State.
And even, too, you could look back at the Lance Leipold era for UB. You know, does Tyree Jackson stay? And some of these, you know, incredible running backs that the Bulls have had over the last 25 years, do they stay? You know, it's a lot of questions. I think Allie brought up a good point, too. Josh's temperament probably leads him to stay.
Temperament and personality, and it's probably an easy sell. Because also, the thing about Josh Allen is he's a JUCO transfer.
Yeah.
So you're already showing more belief in him than any other school did, and you are deciding probably to stay there, even with NIL there, because he's already not a prototypical prospect.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a high school recruit. He is now a JUCO transfer already. Does that allow for, you know, a little bit of the leniency of, he's already transferred once, why would he not do it again? Yes, but this is the challenge of a school like Wyoming in a similar bed that UB is in.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, you have to find the perfect balance between retention and embracing the chaos of the transfer portal. There are going to be players that are looking for a starting role. They come from a bigger school. They're being overlooked. They want the opportunity. If I'm Wyoming, or if I'm UB, I can offer that to somebody. I have a problem at right guard, and you are not being looked at as a starter by Wisconsin, who recruited you. And they're Wisconsin. O-line is their thing.
Right, Big Ten O-lines, oh yeah.
I can get you back in being a starter at the Big Ten if you come play for me for a year. And what do I get in return? I get a 4-star right guard.
You know the way I look at it too, because you mentioned it, like you get a 4-star right guard. I look at it as I get a pretty good used car.
That's exactly what this is.
It's not beat up, but it's pretty good. I'm giving it to my 16-year-old kid. It's new, their first car.
It's new to
and
me.
It could run like the wind. It could be perfect. But it is, in fact, a depreciated asset. We all know the old saying, which is the moment a car leaves the lot, it's worth less. But that's the same thing. You get a 4-star 17, 18-year-old to commit to Wisconsin.
If I get a 4-star recruit mm-hmm. to play here for a year, and then he bounces back over to the Big Ten somewhere else
mm-hmm.
because he gets tape, it is a win-win. Why is it such positive tape? If he's that good of a player, why is it beneficial to me? That big tape happened here, baby.
Mm-hmm.
That tape happened in a Wyoming. It happened in a UB where I get a guy who was looked at as potentially a starter in a Big Ten school. And he takes a chance on here. Puts together good tape. But that tape is donned with our logo.
Mm-hmm.
That's our field. That's our program.
And you can use, and so on that point, you can use your own players as well as big recruiting tools. Allie brings up the idea of, does Josh Allen leave the NIL? That is absolutely a potential. That he's maybe told by NFL scouts, because that's ultimately a big reason why he stays at Wyoming a second year, doesn't declare for the draft, is work on some things. He talked to Carson Wentz, and
yep.
he stays. They could have also easily have told him, hey, we know blank coach is looking at you. You should really go over there. He's really good at developing talent. Steve Sarkisian at Texas is kind of like the guy many people talk about as developing quarterback talent at Texas. That's why Arch Manning and the Mannings really were comfortable going to Texas. Also, though, let's say he stays. We all know, having remembered that draft process and maybe almost vividly the pro day of Josh Allen looking at his receivers going, is this what he's been throwing to all year? Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Now Wyoming also could have the thing of, we have an NFL quarterback. We just need one or two receivers to jump here. Nothing crazy, but one or two guys to get here, maybe another middle linebacker to really round out the roster. And we can go to a Rose Bowl. That was Allen's big thing going back his junior year, winning the Mountain West and potentially going to a Rose Bowl. You can use it both ways. You can use talent that you keep, that you retain, and coaches have talked about this, that maybe the most important thing is actually retaining talent, to also recruit more talent.
But if I'm, for example, I'm a Fran Brown, and I'm like, hey,
Syracuse,
I can offer you the ACC, an automatic playoff qualifying bid if we win the conference,
mm-hmm.
and you'll have better talent to throw to here.
Yep. Or you're just going to play a better system that's going to show off your talents.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord.
Exactly. You can look at this in both ways. It is a fascinating thing, and it is the struggle that you're going to see within UB here and schools like a Wyoming forever now. This is your future. If you are a fan of a UB or a Wyoming or another small school or even a lower-tier program in a major conference, like a Wake Forest, a Purdue.
I even look at, Texas this year, Matthew Golden popped off for them. Golden was at Houston. Houston's not a small program.
No.
But they weren't good, and so he left to go to Texas and to put better tape, onto his resume going into a draft. He was a non-factor in the 2025 draft class until about midway through last season at Texas, and he still would have probably been like kind of a non-factor, maybe a little bit like a Tank Dell, where maybe his talent pops, he's maybe a fourth, fifth round pick, and he's kind of that sneaky guy that you get, but maybe not. I also look at a guy, Caden, name blanking on me, played at Liberty, he's now at Colorado. He's likely going to be their starter at Colorado. He left Liberty because Liberty wasn't throwing the ball particularly well. He had a great junior season or sophomore season, had a bad junior season. He's going to Colorado where Shedeur Sanders threw the ball over the yard. And so that's going to be a thing too. You're going to have to recruit guys that work for you. But I do look at places like Wyoming and UB, and UB in particular this year, having 9 wins last year. They retain a ton of their defense. Red Murdoch was the Robin to Shane Dolak's Batman, and yet he's retained. They bring a lot of their talent back, and even the quarterback they got started games at UConn. It's not the Big Ten, but he's coming over from the American Conference. It is arguably a better conference than the MAC, I think, inarguably.
Right.
And he also was a backup at Kansas State. He's gotten a lot of experience. You can get experience by sitting on the bench and then playing 1-2 years of college football. There's ways you can attack it. It is not all going to be on the defensive. It's not always going to be that way. It can be that way, and I've mentioned it too when I talk about Pete Lembo and UB. In this era of college football, you will find out much faster if your coach has got it or not. Yes. There is not going to be, well, we've got to wait 3-4 years to see his first recruiting class develop. No. The first recruiting class is that transfer class they bring in when they get hired.
And you know what's kind of fascinating? And I'd imagine there will be more of this wisdom being parted from an unlikely source.
Mm-hmm.
JUCO coaches.
Yep.
Junior college coaches have a 2-year window to fit their players into their schemes. It is very much a quick transition type thing. So the top tier junior colleges when it comes to football are going to be people that you'd want to get wisdom from if you are a mid-major or a low-end Power 5 team, like a Vanderbilt, Purdue, Wake Forest, et cetera, et cetera. And you need their wisdom on how to, A, have schemes that will be easy to learn for players,
mm-hmm.
but B, be effective enough that you will get promising tape and try to have a modicum of success. Knowing that you're probably going to lose a talented player or two because of the success you have, but how do you replace it? When do you know to retain? When do you know
mm-hmm.
to let them go and go after the replacement in an unlikely source or recruiting heavy in that position instead?
Yeah.
It's a fine balancing act that you're going to have to go through. And I think when it deals with transfer portals, JUCO coaches are going to have a wisdom that needs to be consulted.
Yeah. We talked a lot about this with college basketball. Also, funny enough, the NIL conversation, college mid-majors going after more D2 talent because that market is flush with really D1 players that just haven't gotten the look yet. You're seeing that now with college football. It might be the JUCO route. It also might
or
be
FCS schools.
FCS schools, I think, absolutely. Or it might be, honestly, embrace the fact that you might be the school that gets you to the big school.
And if you can embrace
you won't have the guys that stay 3-4 years, but you might have, like, you know, Allie brings up Allen was, you know, cemented in the community. Cam Newton was too for Auburn. He was only there for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace being the school that gets you to the big school because it could lead to a lot of success. You just may not have guys that you remember playing for you for 3-4 years. And that's not always a bad thing. College football and college basketball, they're only there for 4 years, maybe 5-6 because of, you know, COVID and then red shirts. They're not there forever. It's not the pros. So maybe embrace that a little bit into only getting a few guys here and there because they want play time. They need play time now. Hey, we're going to get you to the Wisconsins, the Alabamas, all that stuff.
And more in particular, the 1AA page on this.
Mm-hmm.
If you can combine a cheeky NCAA tournament run.
Oh, yeah.
With getting a couple players transferred out to FBS schools, you suddenly become a powerhouse within your league, within your division of football. And that's another thing that we will not know much about, but that's another story for that level of college football.
Yeah. It's not perfect. I still want there to be some, you know, safety bars so that yes. the big teams can't, like, just literally buy everybody. I think we'll get there, though, because you will have some of the bigger schools that are like, hey, we also got to pay for basketball and stuff like that. We can't keep doing this. The boosters are, you know, hemorrhaging money. But we'll see how it ultimately plays out. The big boys have always played bigger than everybody else. It's been true forever. But I think there is a window where some mid-majors can really have some fun in this era. 803-0550, the number to call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, here until 12 o'clock. This is WGR.
Last segment here before we go and kick it off to Sabres Live. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones, thanks for hanging out with us here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Wrapping this one up, and just to touch back on something that we had in the first hour, which was that ESPN quarterback rankings, according to GMs, coaches, NFL executives, scouts, yada, yada, yada. I do have one problem with that ranking.
Mm-hmm.
It gave you the high point and the low point of each player, and some dude out there has Lamar Jackson ranked as the 6th best quarterback in the National Football League. I get trying to be different, and I get that Lamar Jackson has stunk in the playoffs, but who are you ranking ahead of Lamar Jackson that isn't the rest of that big four?
That's the thing is, I've thought about that. It's like, are you all of a sudden telling me Jalen Hurts, because he's won a Super Bowl, you're going to put him over him? Jane Daniels, are you going to put over him after 1 year? Stafford? Stafford, are you going to go? Because now Stafford, his highest ranking is 4.
Could that be that ballot?
I think it is that ballot.
It has to be. That's not a mistake at that point. That's not a coincidence.
I think his highest ranking was 4, and Stafford, and you probably had Lamar at 6, and then Jaden stays at 5.
Yeah, that's probably what that is.
Because
that's people
you could also,
who won Super Bowls.
And you could argue, too, Jaden Daniels, first year, already had more playoff success than Lamar Jackson. First year makes it to the NFC Championship. Kind of arguably does it by himself. Because his team was not very good.
They had good spots,
but they were winning that based off of just Jaden Daniels putting up absurd throws and turnovers by Detroit.
But they put the pressure on Detroit by scoring.
Yeah, they did.
But Detroit was also weak in defense, but sometimes teams don't recognize that or care.
Or care. I think this is a big part of it, or care.
I think you're absolutely right that I don't think it's Daniels. I think it's Stafford and Hurts because they won a Super Bowl. Therefore, they're on hallowed ground.
Let's see what Hurts' highest ranking was. Ah, highest ranking is 6.
So it wasn't Hurts.
So it's Stafford and Daniels.
It's got to be.
I think it would be Stafford and Daniels.
Yeah. Either way. That's all for today here on the Northtown Automotive Extras Point Show, but I got great news for you. Zach and I are back all throughout the week here on the same time slot, and as we will do every day of this week, we'll kick to the Sabres Live coming up next here on WGR.